Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to L'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Sweetman, Harav Yosef. Today's daf was Rosh Hashanah daf Chav Ches. So I was away for Shabbos, as many of you know. Had like a close to a two-hour drive home. So I had a lot of time in the car to listen to various daf yomis. So Rabbi Rosner, on his daf yomi, said that this is one of the top 20 daf in Shas that we could spend 20 hours on. There's at least three major sugyas in Shas discussed on this daf. It's a very well-known daf. We'll try to give you some of the breadth of daf Chav Ches in Rosh Hashanah. Let's begin. We begin with a topic that we've already been speaking about yesterday. A good vach to Chanuch, to Reuben, to Mordechai, to Dr. Joe, to Zalman, to David Yoshua, to Tzvika, and to Yaakov. Thanks so much for joining. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, the last two words on Chav Zayin Obeis. So Amar Rabba, Shama Mitzas Tkiya B'bor, Mitzas Tkiya Al Sfas HaBor Yotza. Let's say a person is standing outside a pit, and the Baal Tokeya is inside the pit. So the first half of the Tkiya, he doesn't really hear. He hears only the echo. He's not there. But then the Baal Tokeya walks out in the middle, and he's blowing the second half. So the guy heard the second half. So the Gemara says, you're Yotze. The Brisa says, you are Yotze, if you just hear half a Tkiya. However, Miktsas Tkiya Kodem Sheyala Amar HaShachar, if a guy starts blowing the Tkiya, a half hour before, let's say 5 seconds before dawn. He starts blowing the tekiah 5 seconds before dawn, and then he continues the tekiah 5 seconds after dawn. Now, before dawn, you're not yotze. So it's not as manchiv. So it's not even considered to be a shofar blast. So the Gemara says, mixes tekiah kodu yalam and shachar, mixes tekiah lach yalam and shachar, lo yatza. So you're not yotze. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, what's the difference? Is half a tekiah good or is half a tekiah not good? In both cases, you heard half a tekiah. Amalabai, Maishna Hasam, Debina Kule Tkiya Bechiyuva Veleka. You got to hear the whole Tkiya. Hachanami, Bina Kule Tkiya Bechiyuva Veleka. So you got to hear the whole Tkiya. So the same way it doesn't work from before Alos to after Alos, it shouldn't work from when the Baal Tokeya was in the pit to when he comes out of the pit. Either way, you just heard half a Tkiya. How come one place it works, one case it doesn't work? So the Gemara gives a beautiful answer. Hachi Hashta, right? Hachi Hashta means, if you've been in my Shia, you know Hachi Hashta means it's a faulty comparison. It's a faulty comparison. Hachi Hashta. Hasam, over there by where the first half was before Alos, Laila Lavzman Chiyuva Huklal. Night is not a time to be chayv and shofar at all. Therefore, whatever the guy blew before Alos HaShachar does not count at all. So this tkiya began in a puzzle state. So that disqualifies the whole thing. Hacha bor makom chiyuva hu lo san home dim bebor. But here, where the guy started blowing in the bar, if there was somebody else standing in the bar, he would be yotze. It's a kosher tkiya, just not kosher for you, but it's a kosher tkiya. So that's okay. If you hear the end of a kosher tkiya, the Gemara thinks at this juncture that that's okay. Good vach etan, Gershon etan. Good to see you. Says the Gemara, lememra de sava rabba shama soft tkiya below tchilas tkiya yotze. Oh, so you're telling me, as long as the beginning was kosher for somebody else, but if you heard the end of it without hearing the beginning of it, so that's kosher. Umemela tchilas tkiya below sof tkiya yatsa, that would imply also that if you hear the beginning of a tkiya without the end, that would also be good. Tashma, coming here, proof to this. Takaber yishona mashal mishnei gishtav. We had this in yesterday's daf. If a person during tkiya shvarim trua tkiya, so he blows the first tkiya, then he blows shvarim trua. Then the second tkiya, he lengthens it double the length because he wants it to count as the last tkiya of tashrat and the first tkiya of tashat, of tkiya shvarim tkiya. So mashach b'shnei k'shtayim, ein b'yadol la'achas. It only counts as one. 99% of the Rishonim say this means it counts as only the last tkiya of tashrat. We mentioned in yesterday's shiur, the Ritz Geus has an original pshat in this Gemara. He says, Ein b'yadol achas, means only the first tkiya of Tashrat counts. This tkiya doesn't count as either of them. It counts for none of them. Ein b'yadol achas means you only have the first one. Because once you're trying to have it do double duty, both as the last of Tashrat and the beginning of Tashrat, the Ritz Geis holds that it doesn't count at all. But we don't follow that psak. We hold like most Rishonim and say, no, it means it counts as one. It counts as the last the key of the Tashrat. So, Embi Adal Achas, Amai, Tesalak Le Batarte, but wait a second. You just told me half a tekiah is good enough. Well, if half a tekiah is good enough, why can't you count this one as the last of the Tashrat and the beginning of Tashrat? Answers the Gemara, no. You're allowed to count half a tekiah, but to count one tekiah as two halves, that you can't do, says the Gemara. Psukei tekiah samadad lo paskinan. You can't split a tekiah in half and count one half for the first half and one half for the second half. That doesn't work. But if you just have one tekiah and you didn't hear the first half and heard the second half, that would be good. But you can't have one tekiah do double duty for two. Tashma, come here another proof. Tekiah l'socha boro, l'socha dos, l'socha pitas. If a person blows the shofar into a pit or into a cellar or into a big barrel, imkol shofar shama yotza. If you heard the sound of the shofar, you yotza. Imkol havara shama lo yotza. If you just heard the echo, you're not yotza. Amai. Leipuk b'tchilas tkiya mikami del arviv kol. The Gemara assumes, gentlemen, that before the echo, you heard a few seconds of kosher tkiya. That's the way these echoes work. You first hear it kosher. So if just hearing the beginning is good enough, why are you not yotzei? You heard a little bit beforehand. So because of this kash, the Gemara backs out. And the Gemara says, really? Really? You're not yotzei with just hearing half. Because you see from over here that im kol havar shama lo yotzei, even though you heard some kosher tekiah beforehand. So what did Rabba mean? That if I was standing outside and the guy was blowing inside and then he walks outside, I'm yotzei. Why am I yotzei? No, says the Gemara. Ki kama Rabba b'tokeh ba'ol l'nafshei. Whoa. Rabba meant the guy himself is standing in the pit, blows half a tekiah, then he walks out himself. And he himself was in the pit and then he himself walks out. That's where you're yotzei, says the Gemara. But that's obvious. Ihachi ma'ilam emro. If that's what it means, what's the chiddush? I was given the Daf Yomi today in the hotel by the Shabbaton. Some of the men wanted to learn the Daf Yomi with me. So one guy says, but doesn't it say Shama Miktsas Tkiah? It's a little bit strange. You're talking about the guy himself, but it says Shama Miktsas Tkiah. That was Dr. Bindiger's kasha today. So the other guy was, this. My brother-in-law, Rabbi Zach, said, no, the whole mitzvah, maybe Rabbi Zach asked the kasha, and then Dr. J answered, Dr. J Bindiger, not the other Dr. J. He said, Kikamar Rabba, he said that maybe it means, Shomea means because the mitzvah, even if the guy blowing it, the mitzvah is to hear it, right? The mitzvah is the shmiah we're going to learn. So maybe Shoma could even mean the guy blowing himself. Okay, anyway. Kikamar Rabba, isn't that obvious? Says, Yachim, my name isn't that obvious. Mao, the same, Mizim, the Mavarishi, Akati Shofa Babor. Kama Arviv, Kala, Kamash Mulanda. No. You might think that if a guy's walking out, if he's walking out of the bar, so there's going to be a millisecond where his ears are already going to be out of the bar, but the shofar might still be in the bar. So his ears are going to be out, the shofar's going to be in, so maybe at that second he's not going to hear the real sound of the shofar. So maybe you might think that should disqualify it. Kamash Malan, that does not disqualify. Okay. That's topic number one. Oh. Now we go into discussing topic number two, which is the famous Shas topic of Mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. That mitzvos are not made for hana'ah. What does that mean? Mitzvos lav, we'll have to talk about that. So let's see. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda. B'shofar shel ola lo yiska v'imtaka yatsa. If you go over to an animal that you designated as a carbon ola, before you shecht it and you chop off its horn, and you want to use the horn of a carbon ola to be yotza your mitzvah shofar. Says the Gemara, you shouldn't do it. V'im taka yotza. But if you did it, you're yotze. V'shofar shel shlamim. However, if it's a carbon shlamim, lo yiska, you shouldn't do it. It's hektish. At this point, the Gemara thinks that you're benefiting from hektish. You're violating me'ila. You're benefiting from hektish. You're using hektish for a mitzvah. So it's benefits. So you're going to violate an iser. So you shouldn't do it. But vim taka lo yatsa. By the shlamim, if you took it, you're not yotze. By the ola, you are yotze. Both of them, you shouldn't do it. By the ola, you are yotze. By the shlamim, you're not yotze. Says the Gemara. I mean, I would have said, if anything, the reverse, right? Ola is more severe. Ola is kachem kachem, shlom is kachem kalam. But the Gemara says...
He takes the horns off after he shucks it or before he shucks it?
Before, while the animal's alive. You designate it, and before, while the animal's alive. Says the Gemara. My taima, what's the reason for the distinction? Ola bas me'ilahi. The Ola is kachem kachem, and the laws of Me'ila apply to Kachi Kachim, which means if you benefit from it, you're stealing from the Beis HaMikdash and you violate an Isser Me'ila. So since you violate an Isser Me'ila, paradoxically, Kevin Demal Ba Nafkala L'chulin. Once you violate Me'ila, it goes out L'chulin, so you can benefit from it, and meaning you're not allowed to benefit from it originally, but once you do benefit from it, it goes out L'chulin, and therefore now it's no longer has the Kedusha, and therefore you could blow the shofar with it. But shlamim, the lav b'nei me'ila ninu, but shlamim, which is kachim kalim, it's a lower level of kedusha, it's kachim kalim, you can't do me'ila. If you can't do me'ila, so even if you benefit from it, it doesn't go out l'chulin, and therefore you're not yotze. Yisuru derachivu v'lo nafki l'chulin, it doesn't go out l'chulin, and therefore you are not yotze. Now we're going to come back to discuss this, just let me first finish the few lines we're going to discuss this. Says the Gemara. Maskifla Rava. Rava asked against Rav Yehuda. Amos Mal, when do you violate Mila? Basa Detaka. When does it go out L'chulin? When do you violate Mila? Only after you blow. Kikataka Bisurataka. That means at the time you were blowing, it was still hektish. So how in the world can you tell me the reason why you're Yotze is because you brought it out L'chulin? It only goes out L'chulin when you're done blowing with it. Because that's when you get the Hana. That's what pulls it out of hektish. Elo amarava echadzev echadzev lo yatsa. Therefore, Rava backs in and says, no. The halacha is echadzev echadzev lo yatsa. Both by Ola and by Shlamim, you are not Yotze because at the time that you blew it, it was holy and it didn't go out L'chulin. So you're not Yotze. Now, we'll have to see in a second why you're not Yotze. Just give me a second. Hadar Amar, but then Rava right away backed out. First, Rava said, both the Shlamim and the Ola, you're not Yotze. Hadar Amar, Echadzev Echadzev Yotze. But then Rava backs out and says, no. Both with an Ola and a Shlamim, you are Yotze. Why? Mitzvos Lav Lehanos Nitnu. There's no violation at all here. There's no violation at all. And you're Yotze in both cases because the Hana, there's no Me'ila, there's no violation, there's no Hana. Because Hana of a mitzvah is not halachically defined as Hana. Take a look at this amazing Rashi here. Rashi, lo lehenestin, right in the middle of the page. Lo lehenestin li Yisrael, liyos kiyumam lehem Hana. Hashem didn't give us the mitzvahs that we should get Hana from them, at least not Hana in this world. We get Schar in the next world, the Rishonim say. But whatever Hana you get from doing a mitzvah in this world is not considered Hana. Ela lo'ol al savareim nitnu. Hashem gave us the mitzvahs as a burden, as a yoke on our necks, not for our Hana. And therefore, you don't violate Me'ila. That's what Rashi says. Fascinating. That would, of course, you get Hana out of the mitzvahs. Of course, you get Hana out of the mitzvahs, but you get Schar in Olam Haba. You get Schar in Olam Haba. Now, a few things to talk about over here. First of all, there's a famous comment of the Egle Tal. Famous comment of the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal writes that even though we say mitzvahs are not for Hana, there's one exception to that rule. There's one mitzvah that dafka you're supposed to get Hana from. What mitzvah is that? The study of Torah. So says the Egle Tal. That's an exception to the rule. That the study of Torah is the only mitzvah where the whole purpose of the mitzvah of study of Torah is dafka to get Hana. The Egle Tal writes in his introduction. He says, people think that the best way to learn is, oh, it's so difficult. I got to sit there and force myself to learn, even though I don't enjoy it, I don't love it. No, says the Egle Tal, when it comes to Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah is dafka supposed to be Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Leiv. that to study Torah is supposed to bring joy to a person's heart. You're supposed to get hana out of it. You're supposed to get joy out of Talmud Torah. As a matter of fact, Rav Avram Minahar, this is one of the Rishonim, Rav Avram Minahar writes, there's a Mishnah Nedarim that says if a person makes a neder, I'm not going to benefit from any of the books in a certain town. So he's not allowed to benefit from the Sifrei Torah. He says, I'm not going to benefit from any of the Svarim in the town. He's not allowed to benefit from the Svarim, from the Sifrei Torah. Asks Rav Avram Minahar, what happened to Mitzvah Slavli Hanas Nenu? I thought the Hanav and Mitzvah is not called Hanah, so why can't he benefit from the Svarim? The answer is, Talmud Torah is an exception. That Torah is the only mitzvah that you really do get Hanah from. And therefore, if you make a neder that I'm not going to get benefit out of any books in the town, all the Torah books you're not allowed to benefit from. Because that's a real Hanah. That's real Hanah. Mitzvah Slavli Hanas Nenu. Wow. Now, one other point here. One other very important point. The Gemara had said before that you're not allowed to benefit from a shofar of a ola or a shlamim. The question is, you're not allowed to use it to be yosei to shofar. The question is, why not? Why not? You don't have to own the shofar. I could take somebody else's shofar and blow it. Why? What's the problem? Why in the world is there a problem? So the Ritva has two pshatim. One pshat the Ritva says is, since at that point in the Gemara we thought that to use the shofar was a violation of Me'ilah, because at that point we thought the Hana from the mitzvah is a violation of Me'ilah, so it's a mitzvah ba ba'avera. That's why you're not Yotze. Because you're violating the Avera of stealing from benefiting from a karban. It's an Isser Hana. So it's a mitzvah ba ba'avera. You're blowing shofar, and the Tosus Yeshanim points out, it's worse than regular mitzvah ba'avera. Let's say, even if you'd tell me that if I steal matzah and then I eat it, or I steal a lulav and then I shake it, so there maybe you could say the avera came first and then you did the mitzvah afterwards. At the time you're doing the mitzvah, there's no longer any avera. But here, at the very time you're blowing the shofar, it's mamish, the mitzvah is the avera. So some say it's a mitzvah ba'avera. Then the Ritva gives a second shot. And the Ritva's second shot is, no, it's not a mitzvah baba vera. It's the reason why we say you're not yotze is because if you're not yotze, you don't get any hana. If you don't get any hana, you didn't violate the iser. So we tell you it's better not to be yotze. We take away your ability to be yotze so that you shouldn't do the avera. Because if we let you be yotze, then you're going to, at this point, we think mitzvahs do give you hana. So if we let you be yotze, you're going to violate the iser me'ilah. So we'd rather you not be yotze to take away the violation of Me'ilah. Fascinating svara of the Ritva. Okay, let's continue. Ve'amar Rava. And Rava further said, Amar Rava. Amar Rav Yehuda. B'shofar shel avodah zarah lo yiska. V'imtaka yatsa. If you have a shofar that was worshipped as avodah zarah, or it was used to blow shofar in front of an avodah zarah, lo yiska. So you're not allowed to blow it on Rosh Hashanah. V'imtaka yatsa. But if you blew it, you are yotze. V'shofar shelir enindachas. However, if there was a shofar that belonged to a city where most of the inhabitants worshipped avodah zarah, and you have a chiyuv to burn this city, lo yiska. V'imtaka lo yatsa. If you blew it, there you're not yotze. So if you blow with a shofar of avodah zarah, you are yotze, but a shofar of an iron nidachas, you're not yotze. My time, what's the difference? Answers the Gemara, iron nidachas kisuse michtas shiure. Since an iron nidachas has to be burnt, so it's as if this thing is already burnt and it's lacking in the shear. You don't have a shear shofar because you need a minimum of a tefach and a little sticking out of both sides. Since this thing is going to be burnt, it's already like it's already dust, and therefore you're not yotze. Now, this would only apply if you hold like Reb Shimon. The Ritva writes in Sukkah, this then is only according to Reb Shimon, who says anything that's going to be burnt, it's as if it's burnt already now. But according to Chachamim, who disagree, and they say no. If it's going to be burnt, it's not already burnt, so then we wouldn't say Kesusa Mechta Shiuri. However, Tosus and Sota write that this din is even according to Chachamim. Since the shofar is Aser Bahanoah, it's considered to be like the dust of the earth. It doesn't have a shear. Now the question is, in Maseches Chulin, there's a brisa that says if you blow with a shofar avodah zarah, you're not yotze. And the Gemara says it because it doesn't have a shear, and shofar avodah zarah is kusim echta shear. So Tosis and Chulin and the Ramban and the Rashba, the Ritva all say, it seems to be a contradiction. Our Gemara says by avodah zarah, you are yotze. But the Gemara in Chulin says by avodah zarah, you're not yotze. You know what the Rishonim say? It depends who owns the avodah zarah. Avodah zarah of a goy, you don't have to burn. Avodah zarah of a Jew can never lose its status of avodah zarah, so you have to burn it. But avodah zarah of a guy, you don't have to burn it, because a guy could be mevatel. He could decide he no longer wants to worship this, and once he decides that, it's no longer avodah zarah. So therefore, that's the reason why our Gemara says that avodah zarah, you are yotze, because you don't have to burn it. It's not excuse me for sure, because can our Gemara, we're talking about avodah zarah of a guy. Amar Rava, hamutar hanami chavero. If a person swears not to get benefit from his friend, mutter litkoa lo tekiyah shel mitzvah. So it's permissible for him to blow shofar for me. Why? Because mitzvah salav lehonis nenu. Hamodar anami shofar, if a person swears not to get benefit from a certain shofar, mutter litkoa bo tekiyah shel mitzvah. I'm allowed to blow the shofar to be yotzi my mitzvah because mitzvah salav lehonis nenu. V'amarava, amudda no mechaver, mazal av mechatas miyosak shamim. Let's say I swear not to get any benefit from a certain kohen. So I'm allowed to have that kohen sprinkle the paraduma water on me in the winter because there's no side hana, and the only hana I get is I become tahar. That's a mitzvah. That's not hana. Avalobi mosachama. But in the summertime, he's not allowed to sprinkle the water on me because I'm getting a side benefit of getting cooled off because of the water. Hamadanami ma'ayan, if I swear not to benefit from a certain water spring, tova bo tefillah shel mitzvah b'mosak shama. I'm allowed to dip in the mikvah in the winter, avalo b'mosak chama, but not in the summertime, because aside from the mitzvah hana, there's also the physical hana. So now we're done with discussing mitzvah lav lehonos nenu. Now we're going to discuss the sugya of mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Do mitzvos require kavana to be yotze in order to be yotze? World famous Shas Sugya. Shochalil Avu de Shmuel. The rabbi sent a shayla to Shmuel's father. Kifa'o v'achal matzah yotze. They didn't send him a shayla. They sent him a halacha. They said he's yotze. If a guy is forced to eat matzah, he doesn't want to eat matzah. He's forced to eat matzah, he's yotze. Says the Gemara. Kfa'o man. Who forced him? Ilema kfa'o shade. If you tell me that a demon forced him, meaning that he was like, he went nuts, he lost his marbles. Vahatanya itim chalim itim shota. A guy who has a disease that sometimes he's lucid, he's sane, and other times he has a nervous breakdown, he loses his sanity. When he's sane, he's totally normal. He's totally sane. When he's insane, so he's not chayv in mitzvahs at all. So what do you tell me? Kfu shade. If an illness grabbed him, he's not chayv in mitzvahs at all at that moment. So who forced him that he's yotzei? Ravashi, shekafu parsim. The Persians forced him. So that's when we say he's yotze. Now, first of all, why doesn't it say that a Jew forced him? So the Rishonim say over here, if a Jew forced him, the Ritva writes, so then of course he's yotze. Bezdin's a lot of force you to do any mitzvah, and there's a mitzvah l'shma devei chachamim. So if Bezdin forces you, for sure yotze. The chiddush here is, even if the goyim force you, then you're yotze as well. I heard Rabbi Rasner mentioned in the Sefer She'arim Mitzuyanim Halacha, says, why the Persians force him? So he said very beautifully that some Rishonim hold that you're only yotze matzah if you ate it while reclining. If you eat it beheseba. If you don't eat it while reclining, so then you're not yotze. So there's a Gemara in Brachos, which only Kirshner remembers. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says that the Persians used to eat while they recline. That's why the Gemara says the Persians forced him. Because if the Persians forced him, they probably made him recline. So that's why he's yotze. Even though those shittas that hold, you got to recline. So that's why it was the Persians. Wow, unbelievable. Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Rosner, for that. Gedenk. All right. Now, the Ritva further writes, this din of mitzvahs ein on srichas kavana, right? Here we're saying, you don't want to be yotzei matzah. And this Persian forced you to eat matzah, you're yotzei, even though you didn't want to be yotzei. So the Ritva writes, this din of mitzvahs ein on srichas kavana is even if the guy who does the mitzvah is yelling and screaming and saying, I don't want to be yotzei. However, the Ran writes in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel, no, if a person beferish says, I don't want to be yotzei, then you're not yotzei. Mitzvahs ein on srichas kavana just means, even if you don't have kavana, you're yotzei. But if a guy's screaming and saying, I don't want, so that's a machlokus rishonim.
Rabbeinu, didn't we learn the Rambam regarding gittin? That every Jewish neshama really always wants to do.
Yeah, so do
the right thing.
Right, so but maybe that's only if Bezdin forces you. Not if a guy forces you. Or not if and maybe not if you're standing and screaming saying, I don't want. Now the Ran further brings the name of the Ra'ah, that this din that they force you to eat matzah, your yotzei, that's only if you know that tonight is Pesach and you know you're eating matzah, you just don't want to be yotzei. However, if you don't even know that tonight is Pesach, or you don't even know that what you're eating is matzah, you're not yotzei. It's only when you know that the act that you're doing is an act of a mitzvah, you just don't want to be yotzei. That's when you're, so then you're yotzei even if you don't intend to be yotzei. But if you don't even know that the act that you're doing is a mitzvah, so according to the Ran, in the name of the Ra, you wouldn't be yotzei. However, Rabbeinu Yerucham says, no, even if you thought that they were making you eat chametz, you're yotzei also. So that's a machlokas rishonim. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Zos Omeres, Hatokea Lashir Yatza. So if you play shofar in the Yulet marching band, and it's Rosh Hashanah morning, and you're just blowing, you're blowing a shofar, so you're yotzi, even if you're not intending. Says Gemara Peshita, Hainuach. It's the same case. Says Gemara, no, it's not exactly the same. Ma'od the same. Ahasam Achol Matzah Rachmanav Ha'achal. Maybe there, since you got benefit, maybe that's why the Hana is instead of the Kavana. So even without Kavana, you're going to be yotzi because of the Hana. Aval Hacha, Zichron Shuruk Siv Ha'imisask Ba'amu. The Torah says you have to have kavana for the shofar. This guy is just blowing for the marching band. He's not thinking about Hashem at all. Kamash Malan, that even though he doesn't have kavana, he's just blowing for a song. He's in the marching band. Nevertheless, he's yotzei. Says the Gemara, Alma Kasava Rava Mitzos Ein Srichos Kavana. Doesn't it seem that Rava holds mitzvahs don't need kavana? So the Gemara is going to try to reject this opinion of mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. Asivei, we learned in the Mishnah in Brachos, the first Mishnah in the second paragraph of Brachos. Hayakar v'tov yigiyaz man amirka. A guy was reading the Torah and it came time for laning. Im kivin libo yatzav, im lav lo yatzav. If he has kavana, he's yotzi. Without kavana, he's not yotzi. What do you mean? Why do you need kavana for? My lav, kivin libo, lotzeis. Right? Sounds like without kavana, you're not yotzei. Mitzvahs ein srichas kavana. Question against... I'm sorry. It sounds like without kavana, you're not yotzei because mitzvahs srichas kavana. Question against Rava. Answer the Gemara, lo. Likros. We're not talking about having kavana to be yotzei. You just have to have kavana to read it. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? It said you were reading it. What do you mean you have to have kavana to read it? You were reading it. Says the Gemara, likros hakakari. Says the Gemara, no. But kari la hagia. We're talking about a case of where a sofer was just sort of reading it like every other word. He was reading a little here, a little there, just to correct it. But he wasn't intending to read. So you're only yotzei if you intend to read every word. But not that you intend to be yotzei to mitzvah. You don't need that. Raya number two. Tashma. Haya over achori beis haknesses. So shall you beis haknesses. Some beis haknesses. We just had this in yesterday's daf. If a guy was passing by behind shul, or his house was near the shul, v'shama kol shofer kol megillah, he heard the shofar, the Megillah from inside the shul. Im kivein libo yotze. If he had kavana, he's yotze. Vim lav lo yotze. My lav im kivein libo lotzeis. You see, you need kavana. So how could Rava say mitzvahs don't need kavana? You see here, you need kavana. Lo. Lishmoa. It means if you intended to listen. It says, well, lishmoa. Vahashama. It says that he heard it. What do you mean you have to intend to hear it? Says the Gemara, Savar Chamor Ba'almu. No, it means that you have to have kavana to make sure that you're listening to, you know that what you're listening to is a shofar. That's the Chiddush. That maybe it's a donkey braying. How do you know? So you have to intend to think and realize that you know it's a shofar. But you don't have to have kavana for the mitzvah. Eisvei, question number three. Niskavin Shomevel, Niskavin Mashmiya. Let's say the one listening to the shofar has kavana, but the one blowing the shofar doesn't have kavana. Mashmiya v'lo niskavin shomea, or the one blowing has kavana, and the listener does have kavana. Lo yotza ad shiskavin shomea mashmiya. They both have to have kavana to be yotze. So you see, you need kavana. Bishlom niskavin mashmiya v'lo niskavin shomea. I understand why, if the tokea had kavana and the listener did not have kavana, he's not yotze. You could say because he didn't even intend to hear it. Kasava chamor ba'amu, maybe he thought it was a donkey. Elan is kavin shomev, elan is kavin mashmiya, heikim mishkachasla. How do you have a case of where the shomea did have kavana to hear it, but the guy blowing it, what, he thought it was a donkey, the guy blowing it? The guy blowing it knows it ain't a donkey, he's blowing it. So what does it mean that if he doesn't have kavana, it means he didn't have kavana to be yotze? So you see, you need kavana to be yotze. La, but okay, alashir, doesn't it mean that he was just blowing for a song, he didn't have kavana? Answer the Gemara, no, dilma dekaman bachnabuche. Maybe he was just blowing, you know, he's just barking out some sounds, but he wasn't intending to even blow the shofar. So that's what the Mishnah says. If he has kavana to blow a legit sound, then he's yotze. Even if he doesn't have kavana to be yotze, he just have kavana to blow a legit sound. Now the conclusion of this Gemara seems to be mitzvos einon srichas kavana, like Rava, right? But we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf that some Rishonim hold mitzvah srichas kavana. So how do we paskin about this? So in Siman Samach and Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The general assumption is like the Ridvaz. The Ridvaz says, by dinim doraisa we hold mitzvah srichas kavana. By mitzvah derabbanan we hold mitzvah ein srichas kavana. People don't know this. You know, a lot of people aren't yotzei, right? Every morning when you say in Kriya Shema and Shul, before you say Shema, you have to stop for a few seconds and say, I'm here. You have to think in your head, I'm about to be yotze in the midst of the rice of Shema. If you don't realize you're saying Shema, then really, maker adin, you shouldn't be yotze because mitzvah srichas kavana by adin doraisa. So we said yesterday, the Chai Adam has the great heter to defend everybody that once he's sitting in shul, we assume from the context that you're there. It's based on this gemara we saw before. If you're walking by a shul and you hear the shofar, if you're outside the shul, then you have to have kavana. But if you're in the shul, then we assume that you do have kavana. Even if you don't actually have kavana, but we assume from the context that's called kavana. Anyway, that's the way we hold. Now we move on to the third important topic of the day, and that is the topic of Baal Tosif. Amale Abaye, now you're going to have to halt cup for this. Here we go. Amale Abaye. Now what do we have so far? We had mitzvus lav lehanos netnu. Then we had mitzvus ein srichas kavana. And now we're going to talk about Baal Tosif. Three major Shas topics in one daf. That's why Rabbi Razdan called his daf one of the top 20. Here we go. Amalei Abaye. El me'ata hayoshin b'shmini b'sukkah yilkeh. If a person sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth day of Sukkot, he's going to get lashes. The simple assumption of this Gemara is that if a person violates Baal Tosif, you get lashes. So says the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tuf Nun Dalet. However, the Rambam in Sanhedrin Perek Yutes Halacha Dalet does not count Baal Tosif amongst the lavim that you get lashes for. So the Minchas Chinuch explains B'das HaRambam that when this Gemara says Yilke, it means Makas Mardus Midrabanan, not that you're going to actually get lashes Midoraisa. But anyway, the Gemara says, Abaye says, if you hold mitzvahs don't need kavana, so if you sleep in the sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs, you should get lashes because you didn't have kavana. But who cares? Mitzvahs don't need kavana. So now you're sleeping in the sukkah an extra day. It's Baal Tosif, even without kavana, if you hold mitzvahs don't need kavana. Answers the Gemara. Omar lo, Rava answered back to Abaye, Shani Omer mitzvahs ain't overlayim ella bismanon. No, Baal Tosif you only violate if it's the time of doing the mitzvah. Meaning, what's Baal Tosif? You put five paragraphs in your tefillin. You put five tzitzis on a five-cornered garment. Right? You take five minim in your lulav, which means now is the time to be yotzei the mitzvah. But the eighth day of Sukkis, Sukkis is over! So you can't violate Baal Tosef anymore once Sukkis is over. So says Rava. Masiv Rav Shaman Bar Abba, you have to remember this for the end of the daf today. So Rav Shaman Bar Abba asked the question. Minayin lekohen she'ol leduchen shelo yom ahov v'nasin litor rishos levarches Yisrael, osif brachachas mishali. How do you know a kohen that goes up to duchen is not allowed to add in one bracha on his own? Kigon, Hashem lekav osechem yosef alechem. Maybe he wants to add this nice bracha. How do you know he's not allowed to? Tamalom lo sisos lo sifu ala davar. You're not allowed to add anything to the mitzvahs. The ha-hacha came into Baruchle. The guy finished his mitzvah already. Avrele's mani. The time is up. Uktan to avar. So you see, you can violate even after the zman. That's where Rav Shaman's sheet is. You could violate even after the zman. Answer the Gemara. Hacha maskin b'delosim. No, maybe he meant to add it in after bracha number one. The hatanya siyem. Answer the Gemara. Siyem bracha achas. Yeah, he finished the first bracha. No, v'hatanya siyem kol brachos. If he wants to add it in after all the brachos. Shani, the Gemara answers, Shani hacha, kevin de ilum misar b'lei tzibur achrino, hadam avarech, kula yome is manehu. Since if this Kohen, even though you finished duchening at the early minyan, now you're sitting around and they need you to duchen the late minyan, we're going to see later on, you don't have to duchen there, but since you could duchen at the late minyan, your mitzvah is not over. So it's still the time of duchening for you. And therefore, if you add bracha number four, it is Baal Taisif. The time is not up yet. Now the Gemara is going to bring a proof to this. Uminatemra. How do I know that if I could do it again, so then the time is not up? Disnan, hanitan v'matan achas, shenis avru v'nitan v'matan achas, yinata matan achas. The din is b'chor, meiser, and pesach, all you only get one blood sprinkling on the base of the mizbeach. So if a b'chor got mixed up with meiser behemoth, or meiser got mixed up with pesach, so obviously you just sprinkle the one blood sprinkling because they all have the same amount of sprinkling. It's all one blood sprinkling. Matan arba b'matan arba. Let's say an ola or shlamim or a chatas or an asham that have shtaim shein arba, two sprinklings which are four. If they got the blood got mixed up with each other, no problem. Sprinkle two that are four. Yinastu b'matan arba. You sprinkle on the two opposite corners and it goes on all four sides. Matan arba b'matan achas arba. What about if a carbon that normally the blood that's normally sprinkled four gets mixed up with the blood that's normally sprinkled one? So now we have machlokas. You're messed up either way. Either you're going to violate Baal Tosef on the one, or you're going to violate Baal Tigra on the four. So which is better to violate? Rabbi Lezer Omer Yinastu b'matan arba. Better to sprinkle four. Rabbi Shu Omer Yinastu b'matan achas. Better to sprinkle one. Amalei Rabbi Lezer over al Baal Tigra. Rabbi Lezer says, if you only sprinkle it one, half this blood should be sprinkled four. You're going to violate Baal Tigra. You did too little. Amalo Rabbi Shua, Hare over Baal Tosef. Rabbi Shua says, well, according to you, you're violating Baal Tosef by adding on three. Amalo Rabbi Lezer, Loi Nema Baal Tosef El Kshuba Atzmo. No. Rabbi Lezer says, you only violate Baal Tosef if this blood itself is all one sprinkling blood and you sprinkle it four. Here, why are you sprinkling it four? Because you have a reason to. The only time you violate Baal Tosef is if you give the extra sprinklings for no reason. But here you're sprinkling because of the other blood. It's not Baal Tosef. I'm a little Rabbi Yeshua. Well, I'll say the same thing about Baal Tigra. Lo nema Baal Tigra el kshu ba'atzmo. Well, I'm not violating Baal Tigra because it's not alone. Ve'od am Rabbi Yeshua. Kishaloi nasata avata Baal Tigra lo esis amayis v'yadecha. I'd rather violate Baal Tigra than Baal Tosef, because Baal Tigra you violate by not doing an action. I'm just doing one, I'm not doing an action. Baal Tosef is doing an action, so that's worse. It's worse to violate Baal Tosef because I'm doing an action. But now the Gemara says, let's come back to our question. Once you gave the one sprinkling of blood, so as far as the Bechor is concerned, you're done. Here you see you violate Baal Tosef even though you're done with the Bechor. Why? Because you could bring another Bechor. So it's still like the Duchening. So it's still considered to be the time of the mitzvah. So you're violating Baal Tosef if you could do another one. La mishum damrinan. Kevin dili misraim ali bukha achina. If you had another bukhar, hada mazim minay. So kula yom is mane. So that's the raya. That just like duchening, you could duchen again. It's still called the zman of the mitzvah. You can violate Baal Tosef. So too, by sprinkling the blood, since you could bring another bukhar, it's called the zman of Baal Tosef. Says the Gemara, come on. Mimai. Dilma kasav Rabbi Shua, mitzvah zor alein, afilu shalom is manan. How do you know? Maybe this is not a good raya, but Rabbi Shua happens to hold, you violate even after the zman. Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Anan halach karminan. Rav Shaman baraba, my time is shavak my season, mosim bibraisa. Why did Rav Shaman ask his kasha from the braisa of duchening, and he didn't ask it from this Mishnah of the blood? Losim imas nisin. He should have asked in the Mishnah. A question from a Mishnah is stronger than a question from a Braisa. Masiz matam lo mosiv. Kevin di lim sram le bucha chino. Boy mazimine kul yom is manihu. So Braisa, nami, kevin di misram le tibur achino hadam avarach kul yom is imne. So the Gemara says, that was what we were saying. That's what we meant to say. You can't say Rabbi Shua held it was past the Zman. Because then why did he ask from the Mishnah? He should have asked from the Braisa. But why did he ask from the Braisa? He should have asked from the Mishnah. But it must be that, no, they're both considered to be equal because it's still considered to be part of the time. But then the Gemara says, but Rav Shaman himself said it's not part of the time, right? He asked the Kasha. He said, you see from there that even if it's not part of the time, so the Gemara says, Rav Shaman Barava, Hasam l'sagi de lo yayv. No. There, if you have another bechor, you have to sprinkle the blood. But by duchening, it's really no longer the time. But hacha, when it comes to duchening, ibay mevarch, ibay lo mevarch. If you don't want to duchen again, you don't have to duchen again. Once you duchen one time, you don't violate the asay. Even if somebody else would call you up, they'd say, come, kohanim, come duchen. You don't have to duchen anymore. So the time is up, and that's why Rav Shaman wanted to prove from there that even after the time, you could violate Baal Tosef. That's why Yadakash on Rava, how come if you sleep in the sukkah on the eighth day, you don't violate Baal Tosef? You see that even after the time, you do violate Baal Tosef. The Gemara brings two other answers. Rava Omar, Lotzeis, Lo Bai Kavana. To be Yotzei, a mitzvah's Ein Tzrichas Kavana. But Lavar Baal Tosef Bai Kavana. Yeah, a different answer. That, yeah, it's true. Mitzvahs don't need kavana to be yotze, but to violate Baal Tosef, that does need kavana. Asks the Gemara, v'hamat and damon Rabbi Yeshua de lavor. There was Baal Tosef v'lo bai kavana. I, Rabbi Yeshua, did not require you to be miskaven l'shem mitzvah, because you're not intending for the bechor. You're intending the extra sprinklings for a different carbon. So you're not intending to do Baal Tosef for the bechor. Elo amarava. Let's say slow by kavana. Lava Baal Tosef also, bizmano. If you're violating Baal Tosef at the right time, low by kavana. But shelo bizmano. But if it's already finished with the mitzvah, then by kavana. So that case over there with the blood, it was bizmano. So it didn't need kavana. You still violate. But to violate sleeping in the sukkah on the eighth day, that would require kavana. And therefore, if you just sleep on the eighth day, not for the sake of mitzvah, you would not violate. So shelo bizmano. Oh boy, come on. Let me just close with one last point. Beautiful ha'ar from Rabbi Rosner. He said that there's two kinds of Baal Tosef, right? Rashi learns Baal Tosef is just adding on to a mitzvah. Five parshas in the tefillin, five tzitzis, five minim in the lulav. But the Ramban adds another type of Baal Tosef. Adding a new mitzvah, making up a mitzvah, that's also Baal Tosef. That's the Ramban says, Bada mitzvah milibo. And the Gra says that's why there's two parashas about Tosef in the Torah, one in Re'eh and one in Veschanan. The one in Re'eh says, don't add on to that which I have commanded you. Everything that I've taught you, don't add on to it. That's Rashi's Baal Tosef. But in Veschanan, it says, don't add on to mitzvahs, meaning don't add on additional mitzvahs. That's the Ramban's Baal Tosef. So there's two parashas because there's Tzvei Dinim in Baal Tosef. Rabosai, everyone should have a beautiful evening. Don't forget to change your clocks tonight, right? You get an extra hour of sleep. So we're gonna learn at 7 o'clock on the new time. 7 o'clock on the new time. Everybody should, both in person and on Zoom. Everyone should have a great night.
Thanks, Rabbi. Have a great week.
Shavuot Tov.
Have a good night, Rabbi.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov.